Y'all remember the ones of y'all that were here last Sunday, I told you we were going to look into the two different dispensations that Paul had. So I want to start in Acts chapter 9. Then Acts chapter 9, we're going to start there, but first would you join me in prayer, please?
Yes.
Father, we thank you now for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us and pay for our sins. And by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, this morning we especially pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them, to comfort them, to heal them according to thy will, and restore them to a measure of health. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your Spirit, to build us up in the faith that we may be a better witness for thee. And Father, we ask you this morning especially to give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You know, we're here to learn.
Amen.
And as you're learning, I'm also learning. So I've got a lot to learn. I don't know about y'all, but I got a lot yet to learn that I don't know. So if you got a question as we're going along, let's stop and talk about it and see what the Bible says about it. So don't hesitate if you got a question about something. And I used to go to Thursday night class with Brother Moore, and he'd say, anybody got a question? He'd be teaching, and he'd stop and say, anybody got a question? I'd say, I got a dumb question. He said, there ain't no such thing as a dumb question. Not about the Word of God. So don't feel bad if you got a question you think not any good. Ask it anyhow, and we'll see. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. He's met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Saul, his name is Saul right here, which is a Jewish name, and he's been given a dispensation. Now, and he's told to go to a street that is called Straight and look for one man named Ananias. And he goes in, and Ananias lays hands on him and heals him. Paul has been blind by the bright sunlight, the light that was above the brightness of the sun that he saw. It blinded him. He had scales on his eyes, and he couldn't see. So Ananias laid his hands on him, and he was healed. Now, and Ananias is talking to the Lord about this man. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about something right here. The Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, we'll say that's when he came. He came to Israel. He was given 12 men. He taught these 12 men in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He trained them to carry on a ministry after he was to be crucified and buried, and he would be resurrected, and he would ascend back up to where God the Father is, and that's where he's at now. But he trained these 12 apostles to carry on a ministry after he left. And that ministry was for Israel, not for the church, the body of Christ. So Ananias said, Lord, I've heard by this man how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now watch what the Lord tells him. Verse 14, and there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. He didn't say all that believe that you died for their sins. They don't know anything about why Christ has died yet. They know he has been crucified. They know he's been buried. They know he's been resurrected. After he was resurrected, he spent 40 days with the 12 apostles training them, and then they saw him go out of sight. Now, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, that's Ananias, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. There are three different groups of people involved right there. The Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Now, I know what he did. Now, verse, for time's sake, come down to verse 19. And this is Saul. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, go to Acts chapter 12 and hold it, and go to Acts chapter 26. Go to Acts 26. Hold Acts 12. You can drop Acts 9. Go to Acts 26. Now, Paul in Acts 26 is giving his account of what happened in Acts chapter 9. The Lord appeared unto Saul of Tarsus and sent him to Ananias. And there's Saul, and he's told to go to Ananias, and he has been chosen by the Lord. And all you've got to do is think right here. In John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus Christ is praying to God the Father. He said, I have manifest thy name unto the apostles that you gave me. And he says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He has finished training 12 men. Okay? This is his prayer before he's crucified now. So he's finished it. Why would all of a sudden, if he's finished his ministry for the world in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why has he got to save this rebel Saul? You know why? He's going to give him a dispensation, and I'm not going to put all of it up here right now, because that won't be so true. You understand? So he wrote 6 epistles to some people that first trusted in Christ, Jew and Gentile. But the very first thing that Saul did, and I apologize for calling him Paul, because he ain't Paul yet. His name is Saul. The very first thing he did, Acts 26 now, look at it. He's giving his account of what happened in Acts 9. Verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both to the things which thou hast seen. Acts 9. I'm going to say that's Acts 9 right there. Of the things which thou hast seen. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now watch what he says. Verse 16 again. Rise, stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. 2 purposes in the verse here. To make thee a minister and witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. Acts 18. The Lord is going to appear to Saul in the temple. Saul doesn't know where he's going to appear to him at this time. You understand? But he knows that the Lord has appeared unto him for a purpose. Then he's going to reappear to him for another purpose. You understand? Now, watch what he says here. In Acts 26, verse 17, delivering thee from the people. That's Israel. Acts 9:17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now watch verse 20 very close. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, comma, and then to the Gentiles. Did he say the Jew and the Gentile?
No.
He said the Jew first, didn't he? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. So when he's in Damascus, go back to chapter 9. We're going to get on here in just a minute. Acts chapter 9. Now this has not got anything to do with separating the 2 dispensations. You understand? This Acts chapter 9 is one dispensation. Now, in Acts chapter 9, look at verse 20. Verse 21. We read verse 20. Did we read verse 20?
Yes.
All right, verse 21. But all that heard him was amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? Where is he at? He's in Damascus, ain't he?
Yes.
Where is he at?
In Damascus.
He's in Damascus. That he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. All right, go back to chapter 26, verse 20. But showed first. Well, that would be the Jew. You understand? So in Acts chapter 13, go to Acts chapter 13, whole chapter 12, Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, that Barnabas and Simon, that is called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene of Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Well, what was the work he called them unto? Three different groups of people. The Gentile, the kings, children of Israel. Okay? So he went first to the Jew. Had to go to the Jew first. After he finished, well, look at chapter 12. It's very clear to me, and I don't know about you, I may be confusing you. But look at Acts chapter 12, verse 24. The word of the Lord, of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. Did Paul fulfill a ministry at Jerusalem?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was he doing? Preaching to the Jew first.
Yeah.
Then Acts chapter 14, go there please. In Acts 13, verse 9, Saul's name is changed to Paul, a Gentile name, if you please. So Paul is starting his ministry with the Jew and the Gentile. And he wrote six epistles to the Jew and Gentile. And everywhere Paul went in the book of Acts, from Acts, I'm going to say Acts 13, just to clarity. Everywhere he went into the synagogue until he became a prisoner in Acts 22. When he became a prisoner in Acts 22, he did so because he told those people that the Lord appeared unto him in the temple and told him, get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive your testimony concerning me. I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. And he wrote seven epistles to us Gentiles. Now, did Paul fulfill a ministry in Acts 12?
Yeah.
Regardless of whether we understand what it was, did he fulfill a ministry in Acts 12?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that word, fulfill. It's going to come up again in a minute. And you know what the dictionary, the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary says about fulfill? Completed. Finished. I bet you ain't listening.
I did.
Jesus Christ said in John 17, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and there ain't been one word ripped down in a 1611 King James Bible identifying anything for the church, the body of Christ, until Saul is saved in Acts chapter 9. You understand? Or don't you? Did Jesus Christ said, I finished the work?
Yes.
Well, why are people still trying to carry on the work of the Lord today? Why are they still trying to preach Matthew 28 to people today? Why is Luke 8, 4, dude? Why is Fred Wolf trying to make himself look like a big shot, saying that he is the prophecy of Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2. That is the prophecy for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I finished it.
Amen.
Fred Wolf needs to study his 1611 King James Bible, amen, which he don't use. So how's he going to know what God says? He's got a book of Satan. Now, I don't care whether he likes me or not. I give a flip about him. Nor does the Lord.
Amen.
God ain't got no respect for persons. You know that?
Yeah.
Better. You know why? Every single one of us, you listen to me, every single one of us, me included, we're going to stand at judgment someday and give an answer for the things we've done in the name of the Lord. And I don't care what you're doing. If you're saved, you're doing it in the name of the Lord. And can you do it before all the world? Or you got to hide to do it? You know, I think about an old wine. Got him a bottle of wine. He's out in the middle of the street. Then he leans up against a building. He slides down and he drinking. He's hiding behind that bag. The whole world can see him. But wait a minute, I don't answer to the world, I answer to the Lord.
Amen.
You understand? So Fred Wolf's going to answer for himself someday. There's going to be a lot of big crocodile tears there one day. A lot of sadness. Now, Paul went to the Jew first. He fulfilled that ministry. That's over. You ain't going to the Jew first no more. So people that don't rightly divide Paul's epistles, when Paul and Barnabas said they fulfilled the ministry of that, why are they still trying to do it? The same as they're still trying to teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today, and it won't work, beloved. You can't follow these instructions back here. Go to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Might as well, while you're going that way, take 1 Corinthians chapter 9. While you're headed that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Take Colossians chapter 1. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, y'all know the verse, y'all ought to be able to quote the scripture there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look in verse 16 with me. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Now hold forward. Is Paul talking about the ministry that he said that him and Barnabas completed in Acts chapter 12? Verse 24 and 25. No, he's completed that ministry. That's over with. The Jews judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. He said, Lord, return to the Gentiles. They didn't believe they needed a Savior. I was preaching to a man years ago at Scott Papel in the office. There was a delivery man came in. Both of them were Jews. Larry Miller, now he's a Jew. He was in that synagogue out there on Cottage Hill Road out there. I forget the name of it. It's on the right-hand side of the road out there. There's a Jewish synagogue thing there. And he was a member of that assembly there. And he said, I don't need Jesus. He said, who is Jesus? A staunch Jew does not have a Savior. You know why? They don't believe Jesus Christ ever came yet. They don't believe he's come yet. I got news for them. That's why the elders rejected him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. And they did. They spoke against him. They blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. They went right down the tube. But when Paul fulfilled that ministry to the Jew first, it don't happen no more. It's complete. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of for necessity. Well, Paul's still got a ministry going on, ain't he?
Yeah.
He sure has. It's laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And he ain't talking about the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's going to identify that gospel in just a minute. Now watch what he says. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Does Paul have a dispensation committed unto him? Is it called a dispensation of the gospel of Christ? Look what he says. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ. Not the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That ministry is over. Jesus Christ said, I have finished this work. Paul said, I have completed this work for the Jew first. Not the Jew and the Gentile here now, but to the Jew. And when his name is changed from Saul to Paul, he's a Gentile preacher, going to the Jews and Gentiles that are in the synagogue. And when they heard the gospel of Christ, they trusted that and came out of the synagogue. And Paul established churches in a school of one Tyrannus, and they preached there for 2 years. How many years we've been in this building? Anybody got any idea? Besides my daughter, you be quiet. Y'all know when we started in this building? Come on, people. 1992. Ain't that right, Carol? She's like an elephant. She don't forget, so don't do nothing that you don't want her to remember. 1992. We've been in this building, and they ain't charged us one red dime. Ain't that wonderful? I told Brother Russell the other Sunday, I said, you know, I hope this company realizes how much we appreciate this facility here on Sunday. Some people would say, well, y'all just meet anywhere. Well, yeah, we will. Amen. We used to meet in Dr. Carson Tina's office. This class started in his friend's home, Al Asher, on the...
Forest Hill.
What was that? Forest Hill Drive, wasn't it? Yeah. Al Asher is the one that built this pulpit right here. Now, he didn't build it for me, he built it for E.C. Moore. E.C. started this class in Al's home. That class moved to Carson Tina's chiropractic office. From there, we moved to here. And we've been here ever since. Didn't get charged a dime nowhere we went. Amen. Can't beat that. Mm-mm. Can't beat it. Ain't God wonderful? I mean, we're blessed and beyond compare.
You don't have to waste the whole Sunday on a building fund, do you?
Sir?
You don't have to waste the whole Sunday on a building
fund. Well,
I got a
basket over there for collecting money, but there ain't no room to put no money in it because it's got mints and stuff in it for y'all. That's the only basket I know that you don't take, put nothing in, you take something out of it.
Amen.
So, no, we appreciate these facilities. But did Paul say he had a ministry here?
Yeah.
And that ministry was to the Jew and the Gentile?
Yeah.
All right. Now, what happened here? Did Paul complete this ministry?
Right. Yes.
Are we still carrying on this ministry? Do we still need to go in the synagogue?
No.
Well, go to Colossians, chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse... man, it's hard to break into context, but nevertheless, I can't do it. Just go to verse 12. I can't break into the context. I got to read this for you. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, don't you think about something right there? Especially when you see Jack Van Amp and Hagee and people like that on TV, they got us going into the raft over here of Almighty God. You got the program on TV right now, the people that are preparing for the end time to come. Well, I don't give a flip if it comes right now. I ain't got to prepare for it. I prepared for it when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I left it up to Him to get me out of this world. And according to Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, He has already delivered us from the wrath to come. He's already delivered us in A.D. 33. Everybody that would trust Christ as their personal Savior, that Jesus Christ and God the Father knew before the foundation of the world, and the Holy Spirit knew, baptized you into a body. That body was resurrected in A.D. 33 before any member was. According to Psalms 139, you ought to study it very closely there. In other words, we are already seated at the right hand of God the Father. We are already in the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm not looking for the 1,000-year millennial reign over here. That belongs to Israel, and they can jolly well have it.
Amen.
You can't have it if you wanted it.
No.
You ain't going to make it there. You can't live long enough to get there. Now, I don't know how long, it may be just about 7 years from now. The rapture of the church is going to take place, and then you got a 7-year period of tribulation over here, then the 1,000-year millennial reign will be set up. You might could try to make it over there, but I don't believe you could. I don't believe you will. If you can't trust Jesus Christ right now, believing in the fact that He died for your sins, you won't never make it through the tribulation. I can tell you that. You'll never make it. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who is the, excuse me, whom, this is reference to His dear Son here now, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated Him in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, now who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for His body's sake, which is the church. Now watch verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to do what?
Fulfill.
To fulfill the word of God, to complete it. And beloved, I believe, listen to me now, I believe that the word of God that we have written down starts in Genesis through Malachi. Then you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have the book of Acts. Then you have Romans to Philemon. Then you have Hebrews through Revelation. Beloved, did Paul say he completed the Word of God? Well, all of this must have been written, all of that and this here, before Paul wrote that, didn't he?
Amen.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
The book of Revelation, they say, is around AD 96. I believe it was written before that.
Amen.
Paul said he completed the Word of God. Do you understand, if Paul hadn't written these last seven epistles, we would still need prophets and evangelists, right, and pastors over here that would prophesy, that would have the gifts of the Spirit back here to discern from the Spirit. Those who first trusted in Christ, they had different gifts. Some the gifts of healing, some the gifts of speaking in tongues, some the gifts of helps and meats and other things and healings, all kind of things. Y'all know what tongues were for? Y'all see a preacher on TV right now that's running up and down the stage and hooting and hollering, and all of a sudden he stops and starts spurting out some...
I thought some of them.
Do you know who he's talking to?
Yes.
Talking to himself, and I believe the devil. I was at a conference, small conference a year or so ago, and there was a preacher that was preaching about tongues. And he said tongues were for a sign of Israel, and they are. 1 Corinthians 14, check it out. Verse 22, along in there. Tongues are for a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22. He said tongues are of the devil today, and there were two women got up and left. You know why? They went to a church that speaks in tongues. That ministry is gone. We don't have that ministry. Do we need people with knowledge today? The spirit of knowledge? I'm talking about like these people here had. These people here had the spirit of knowledge. Do we need that today?
Nope.
Well, no. You know why? I got the completed Word of God. Paul completed it. Paul filled it up. Paul finished it. It's complete. So if it's complete, Hebrews through Revelation has already been written. For Paul made that statement. Another dispensation over here. What is this dispensation? Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Well, we ain't left it here. I may have, but y'all still there, ain't you? Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 again. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for Gentiles to fulfill the word of God.
For you.
Now, that blessed, don't y'all sit there and do that. But anybody in here got a word in that verse that says Gentile?
No.
What does it say?
You.
What is the difference between the you here and the Gentile back here? These Gentiles back here that Paul first went to are in the covenants of promise. These Gentiles over here that he wrote the last seven epistles to are not in the covenants of promise, beloved. And Paul, when he wrote those last seven epistles, he fulfilled the Word of God. He completed it. He finished it. It's done. Never to be done again. No more prophecy. So when you see these people, especially Richard Roberts, when you see him on TV, he's praying over all these prayer letters and stuff, and he looks up and he says, "Thank you, Lord. The Lord just told me somebody got a new shoulder. Did you get a new shoulder, David?" What'd they do to it? They operated on it, didn't they?
They hurt me.
You just ain't got enough faith. I know somebody.
You know it was seven seals. You got any idea of where you think we might be now and what seal we might be stepping into?
What seal?
Yeah, it's going to be seven seals. You know, we was told.
You talking about in Revelation?
Yeah.
We're not in any of them.
It's already happened. He just told us that.
We're going out before they can be opened.
Amen. Thank goodness.
In Revelation chapter 5, there's a book delivered. No man in the earth or in heaven can open and loose those seals. But the line of the tribe of Judah, he prevailed to open and loose them over here. So they can't be loosed while we're here. You understand? There are seven angels, seven churches, seven spirits. Y'all know what the number seven is in the King James Bible.
Perfect.
Number of completeness. Do what? Did I hear anybody say the number of completeness? How many books did Paul write to complete the Word of God?
Seven.
Seven epistles. And you know that just blows my mind away, because the Philippian letter, he knew them back here in Acts chapter 16, but he didn't write to them until after Israel became Lo-Amni, not God's people, and he wrote seven epistles which completed the Word of God. Seven, the number of completeness. Come on, you're just telling me some man put this book together?
Amen.
There ain't a computer in the world that can match this book right here.
Didn't blow them up.
Can't do it. I believe God has given us just enough rope to hang ourselves, and we're teeter-tottering on a little old stool that ain't got but one good leg, and the other three legs is broke, and the rope's getting tight and tighter, and someday that leg's going to fall off, and that's going to be the end of it. And we're gone. We're gone. But you see, if you think about prophecy, did Paul say that we that have trusted Christ are already glorified?
Yes.
Did Paul say that we are translated into the kingdom of his dear son? Yeah. Well, where's the kingdom of his dear son at? It's above all heavens, beloved, seated at the right hand of God the Father. You can't beat that. So Paul's got two dispensations. Now look at this bunch right here in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. These folks that were dead, no hope, no way to get to God. Now, by the mystery of that gospel, that when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for these people over here outside the covenants of promise. No way to get to God. Israel has become Lo-Amni. I don't care what Hagee says. Hagee's got it going on right now. If you don't bless a Jew, God won't bless you. Well, I got news for Hagee. According to Ephesians chapter 1, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places. And
I heard you say that one too.
I started to say hell with Hagee, but I can't do that.
I caught that ministry also.
Teach, Chris. It's all right, son. Yes, sir.
You know, it's sad when you can't voice your opinion.
Yeah.
And I think about this, and this ain't got nothing to do with this class, but I think about this Duck Dynasty thing, this man preaching the Word of God against homosexuality. And God Almighty says it's an abomination. And he gets in trouble. And yet the queers and the fags, they can run around and brag about it. Men kissing men, women kissing women, and all that right on television, and everybody just applauds and claps it. And most all of your states right now are backing it. But yet you tell the truth about it.
First, I don't think he spoke out of the King James Bible.
No, he don't.
I mean, the man standing there, his blind words, he didn't know what he was saying.
But do you know what? What's so good about that? Can a homosexual be saved?
Yes,
they sure can. You know that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, he died for all men, regardless of race, color, creed, national origin, whatever your preferences is, your sexual activities, ain't got nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ died for all men. He became what man is. And man has done got so that blame low, you can't tell him the truth no more because he won't sue you. If you tell him the truth. Wind up in the courthouse down there. Well, you call me a faggot. Well, you ought not to be one. You ought to change your lifestyle. Well, anyway, come back to verse 27. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Gentiles, this dispensation. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Not all Gentiles. For you Gentiles.
We are the ones that believe. We are the ones that believe.
Sir?
When he says for you Gentiles, that's for the ones that believe.
Yes, the ones that believe the mystery of the gospel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, and you know you can get in trouble right here if you ain't careful. When Paul wrote to these who first trusted in Christ, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. He said, I've delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. It ain't just some words that he received. He received that gospel. What is that gospel? That Christ died for his sins according to the Scriptures. Well, did Christ die for these people's sins according to the Scriptures?
Yes.
Well, when Paul said he completed the Word of God for us Gentiles, did he die for us according to the Scriptures?
No.
He died for us according to the mystery of the gospel. Not the mystery which is the gospel, but the mystery which is of the gospel. And I am now a steward of that mystery.
Amen.
It's my job to make all men see. Look at verse 9 right here, where you at. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Not hid in the Scriptures. Their ministry was hid in the Scriptures. Ours was hid in God until revealed to the Apostle Paul. So Paul had two different dispensations. He had to the Jew first, back here, then the Jew and the Gentile that was in the synagogue. When the Gentile and the Jew believed that gospel, they came out of the synagogue. Paul established churches and homes, and established a church and a school. We've got a church here. It ain't the building. The church is his body. Well, who is his body? It's the members that believe. Believe what? That it's daylight out there?
No.
Believe that when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for them, although they're not in the covenants of promise. And I don't have to make you a child of God through Abraham's seed as a child of promise. You are a... Well, go to chapter 2 right here. Let me show you what we are.
Ephesians
chapter 2.
Okay.
Verse 1. And you. Hath. Is the word hath past tense?
Yes.
And you. Hath he quickened. You know what the word quickened means?
Made alive.
Well, we must have been dead.
Yep.
You reckon?
We were dead.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know where the course of this world's headed? Headed to the wrath of Almighty God. Even your religious system. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the mystery of iniquity already worked. Only he who now let will let until he the one new man that God made with those who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And how long were you sealed? Until the day of redemption. Can't lose it. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
Great.
Now watch what he says here. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Y'all know who the prince of the power of the air is? It's a Satan. And I remember when my dad, I reckon when I was about 11, 12 years old or something like that, my dad brought a TV into the neighborhood, and there was a lady in Forest Park Bible Church down there. Come to my daddy and said, "You brought the devil in this neighborhood." I suspect my dad, a good fellow like he was, had some choice words for her and run her off. Well, what do you think about that?
We used to have a preacher calling the one-eyed devil, the TV.
Do you know? I don't know but one preacher. Well, I know maybe two. The preachers on television that I'll even attempt to watch.
MC Moore is one, and
I'll watch Lefeldy. And I'm a little weary of him at times, but I watch him. And EC Moore, and I don't get to watch him no more because I'm up here at the time he comes on now. I don't watch Charles Stanley no more. Charles Stanley give up on the King James Bible. Most all of them giving into the pressure of having a new translation.
Mm-hmm. Brother Pete, as you know, he was the first one I ever preached, once in Christ, always in Christ. When I was in the religious system, I heard him preach that and sit there, I shut the TV off on him.
Hmm.
But he was the first one I ever heard preach that, Charles Stanley.
Charles Stanley?
Yeah, he was right on that.
I used to watch Cephro Dollar, or that is it?
Yeah.
But he gets way out left field every now and then. I can't watch him.
I did too, but he
there's so many of them that are, and I don't even stop on Joel Osteen no more. I don't even stop by his channel no more.
Mr. Peter, he's got a good trick going.
The what?
He got a good trick going, Cripple. I'll call up family sometimes and tell him, turn up to him. He's got a trick going with a bait call. I was turning the channel one day and he said, "Jesus Christ plus nothing," and I backed up on it. You know how you just searching?
Yeah.
And he says, "I'm telling you, Jesus Christ plus nothing." So it dawned on me what he said. I flipped back to the channel and he was talking about Jesus Christ plus nothing. He went to some of the scriptures that Paul wrote and come right back to tithing.
He came right back to it.
Yeah, he did. Because what he did read about Paul was correct. And it is Jesus Christ plus nothing, because he said it's not the works that we do. He said this to them and then went back back and told them what he has to do to keep the ministry going.
Yeah, plus 10%.
Oh, you got to watch him.
That's nothing.
Up and down.
Her mom goes to a church, you got to show them your 1099.
Yeah.
Yeah, where she goes, you got to show them your 1099.
I told Mr. Hill that he didn't want to be.
And if you don't give him 10%, you're not in.
No, you got to show them your W-2. If it don't come up to par, they ain't going
to have to anyway. In other words, you can't wait to see that.
What do you have to do to get into Christ?
Believe the gospel.
Believe the gospel. Do you know what? I tell you, well, this ain't got nothing to do with the class, but go to Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8. You see, I believe Paul had two different dispensations that was committed to him. And I believe he's completed all of them because of what he wrote to 2 Timothy. He said, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul never wavered from the faith.
No, he did.
He went to the Jew first, as he was supposed to do. He completed that ministry. He went to those who first trusted in Christ. That ministry ceased when Israel became Lo-Ammi, not God's people. Now we are preaching the dispensation of the grace of God, which is about the mystery of the gospel. Now, when that dispensation is finished, the rapture of the church will take place. Then the Lord will deal with Israel according to the tribulation over here. And we're not appointed under that tribulation. We're appointed under salvation. This is the day of salvation. God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, in Acts chapter 8, Philip has been talking to the eunuch. The eunuch is reading out of the Old Testament. And Philip has been told by the Spirit of God to go over there and join yourself to this chair and preach to this man. And so Philip does this. And verse 31. And he said, how can I, this is the eunuch talking to Philip. He said, how can I except some man guide me? In other words, he's reading the Old Testament. And Philip says, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Except some man guide me. Okay? Now, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. Do y'all know what he was talking about? He's talking about the Lord. Now, come down for time's sake. Verse 37. Well, I apologize. Go to verse 35. I can't go too far. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Well, the scripture is Isaiah 53. You understand? That's the prophecy that the eunuch's reading in Isaiah 53, and Philip's explaining to him who Isaiah's talking about. He ain't talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. Now, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, and he baptized. Y'all know most of your Bibles leave out verse 37? Mm-hmm. And when they leave it out, they go from verse 36 to 38, they can't even count. Yeah. But now some of them have put it back in. Part of it. Now I'm going to read to you how they put part of it back in there. Verse 37. Then Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. And it stops right there.
I believe that Jesus.
What's he believe?
The Son of
God. He believes that Jesus is the Christ. He doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins. He doesn't say that. What does the eunuch say?
Jesus
and Philip said, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. The answer said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the same thing that Peter told Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some this thing, some that. Then Jesus Christ said, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And do you know what Jesus Christ told him? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. When have you ever seen that you died at Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ? When did you ever see yourself hanging on Calvary's cross? It was your cross. That wasn't his cross. He was on a barred cross. That was my cross. Amen. That I deserve. But he took it for me. And he took it for you and everybody you know. And people just swaddle around them. You got to believe something. Do y'all know in your Bible, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I know
one
the day devil?
Yeah.
I know it's true.
Yeah, the gig's up and it's one day for them.
The devil knows who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
He was back there in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
With God. He was a created cherub. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1.
What was that verse?
Do what?
What was that verse?
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, reason that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when, in other words, when time is complete, then something's going to happen. Look what's going to happen. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. All things someday at the end of times over here, when the mystery is completed, then God's going to gather all things to himself. And I don't know how to explain this to you, but I can see a new heaven and a new earth, as in Isaiah 65. I can see this one burned up. Did y'all, I didn't catch all of it. There was a meteor in the Midwest out there, and they saw this thing, and they filmed it going across the night sky. You see it, Walter?
I saw it.
And you can see the fire burning behind it. One just hit in Russia over here not long back, a couple months ago. I suspect that there's going to be a meteor hit this planet someday, and it's in God's control. It ain't just running around pant out yonder, scooting all over and accidentally going to run into it. I believe God's got her fixed. When someday, when the 1,000-year millennial reign is over here, and Satan is loosed out of his prison down there, he's bound in the bottomless pit down there with a chain on him, and he can't get out till the 1,000 years are over, and God's going to loose him out of there, and he's going to go about to deceive the nations again, and then he's going to bring them to a battle of Armageddon over yonder, and God's going to destroy the whole stinking thing, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. For this one, the elements are going to burn with fervent heat. And I don't know how hot that is. That must be pretty hot. This thing's going to melt. All the stuff we've stored up. I got a house full of stuff stored up. You know what's going to happen to it? It's going to burn up someday. But you know what? I don't give a flip. Because I don't need it. I have learned over the 70-something years I've been here, the more I got, the more problems I got. So the least I got, I ain't got to worry about that. But this day here is 1,000 years, and when it's over, Satan's going to be loose, and God's going to destroy him someday. Going to burn him up. He's going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and the people are going to be in different levels in there. I can see it in Ezekiel and Isaiah 14. I can see it when he goes down into that pit down there, and then people are going to say, "Oh, you become weak as wheat." You know who's the God of this world with all power right now? Satan is, beloved. He's deceiving people by the millions. And you try to show the truth to somebody, and they're kind of nuts, ain't you? What a cult you done got involved in. Where do y'all meet at? Well, we meet in a barred building.
Nobody's going to come to this building. They got to go to church.
And we sure ain't got no paved parking lot that night. I'm just caving in out there. My time's up this morning. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. I hope you have the rest of this year a good year. God willing, we'll see you next Sunday.